Welcome to Moment in Ministry, hosted by Pastor Steve Dameron.
Hello again. This is Steve Dameron for A Moment in Ministry. Our guest today is Pastor Pete Folger from Cleveland Baptist Church. I'm going to have him introduce himself.
Well, good day to you. Again, my name is Pastor Pete Folger. Grew up a pastor's kid and had that distinct privilege. God called me to youth ministry when I was a junior in high school, surrendered to that, and went to Bible college, got training, came back, and started working at my home church. That was 17 and a half years ago. In 2016, the church voted for me to become the co-pastor, and then the pastor upon the pastor's resignation or his time to retire from the ministry, and that will happen here in just a few short months. So I'm glad to be with you, Brother Steve. Thanks for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Folger, thanks for being with us. Mm-hmm. So we had kind of settled on the idea of soul winning. So Cleveland Baptist has been in existence for 60 years. I know you probably haven't been there all 60, but but I thought, just in dealing with that ministry, being in the ministry, growing up in a pastor's home, probably going door knocking as a kid. I know my kids, they will have stories, because when they were 4 years old, they were door knocking with me. But there has, some people want to say, well, you know, nothing has changed. Well, I would beg to differ. They probably haven't gone soul winning recently, because things have changed. Right. So as a Christian that's out door knocking, soul winning, what are some things that kind of you seen with the culture and some of the things that we have to have or we need to do as a Christian, as a church?
Sure. Well, we live in similar places geographically. Yeah. You know, Indiana's not all that different from Ohio, and so I think weather plays a factor.
Yeah.
Time plays a factor. One of the things that we found is, you know, that people nowadays go to their homes, and that kind of becomes a place of refuge for them. No, you know, the folks aren't out in the community as much, the neighborhood, you know, spending time with other families. So when they go home, it's like they sequester themselves inside their home, and they're not opening the door. They're not going to answer the door, certainly not for strangers.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a challenge. Yeah. You know, and of course weather is a challenge. If it's really super cold, most people are not going to stand at their door.
Right.
But most people are also, in today's day and age, are not going to invite you into their home.
Yeah.
Like they once maybe used to do. That happens every once in a while, but it's pretty rare. And so. You know, we still believe very, very firmly and strongly in door knocking, door to door, house to house. We believe God blesses that.
Yep.
Even though maybe we don't quite see the same results that we used to see, but we still believe very strongly in it. But I think what's changed more than anything is, I think you have to kind of develop a relationship with a person first.
Yeah.
Most people are not going to meet you on the street and you introduce yourself to them and them give you an opportunity to share the gospel and then make a commitment right there. Now, it does still happen,
right?
But it doesn't happen as regularly as maybe it once did. And so, you know, I think one of the main changes that we've had to try to teach folks and for folks to understand is that the most effective witness that they're going to be is with people they know already.
Yeah.
Who they have a relationship with. And again, that doesn't mean that we throw out the door to door. Again, I think God has commanded us to do that. But we also have to understand, it may not be quite as fruitful as it once was, but God will bless in other ways. And so we just, you know, we have to understand that. That's one of the things that I feel like we've had to teach our people, and I feel like they've gotten a pretty good handle on that.
So you mentioned the idea of a relationship. It's interesting, because I've had to talk to some of our church folks, and it was just, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it sounds bad, but basically you put on your soul winning garb mm-hmm. on a certain time of day, then went out, went soul winning, you came back, you could take that off.
Right.
Well, one thing that I've tried to help our folks understand is you need to be engaged in soul winning all the time. It's not a put on, put off thing, which means that the Spirit has to lead and guide you. And so that idea of relationship, there's a couple things I've recommended to our folks, and it might spur your thinking on. A couple of things that I've asked our folks to do is have someone over to your house. I remember when I first asked a couple of folks to do that, they were like, well, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you open up your house, like, have someone unsaved into my house. and it was just odd, because I'm thinking, well, why wouldn't you?
Right.
But there is, you know, just like you're saying, our homes, even as Christians, is kind of like this haven.
Right.
You know, I don't let anybody in there.
Right.
But having them come in, sit down, eat with you, even with your children, and you bow and you pray, you have a good time, they start realizing, oh, these are normal people. Yeah. And I've had people, I've had unsaved people over to the house say that afterwards they're like, wow, you guys are normal. Because there's this idea, I mean, Christianity is, even today, the media, we want to say that the media hasn't had a play in it, but yes, it has. It makes you extreme, it makes you, you're crazy out there. So what are some things maybe that you've seen in the same way as far as building that relationship?
Yeah. Well, we think about the church that we were planted out of, Akron Baptist Temple.
Yeah.
Akron Baptist Temple, most people may not even be familiar with that church anymore. It doesn't really exist in the same form that it once did. But Akron Baptist Temple never had an organized soul winning and visitation time. Never. Mm-hmm. Never had an organized program. And yet at one time they were the world's largest church.
Yeah.
Running over 6,000. And that happened because, you know, Dallas Billington, who was the founding pastor, was thinking along that mindset. And it was, You are a Christian and you are a soul winner and you are a missionary everywhere you go in every facet of your life. And so men went to work and they invited their friends to church with them. Ladies went to the library. They went to the grocery store. They, you know, and it, and again, that's not to downplay coming to the church, giving everybody, putting them on a bus, let's go out canvassing, let's go out, yes, knocking doors. Right. They just didn't do that. And God grew the church anyways.
Yes.
And so there is definitely a case to be made for that. And I think that is one of the dangers of having an organized soul winning, yes, is what you said a moment ago. Okay, we go to soul winning on Thursday night. Yep. We go soul winning on Saturday morning. But we don't go soul winning any other time, yes, of the week. And so that is, without question, that is a mindset that a lot of people fall into. And so I heard a pastor once say this, what kind of people carry tracks, or what kind of people give out tracks? Those that carry them.
Yes.
You know, and so having a track on you at all times, you know, so that you could leave it at the restaurant, so that you could leave it, you know, with your dry cleaner, so that you could leave it as you're checking out of the grocery store, yep, you know, and just, you know, constantly. And if you go to those places enough times, you find the same aisle that you were in,
yes,
give that, you know, hey, did you read that? What did you think? Following up on that. I love the idea of inviting lost people into your home. I think that's great. And I think most Christians who grew up the way that you and I grew up,
yep,
would probably have that same reaction. Well,
right.
What do you mean?
I know.
And just as the lost look at us and say, wow, those are normal people, I think in many cases we would look at the right. lost and say, they're normal people too.
Right.
Now, I know there's an element of lost people in which, you know, every word out of their mouth is perverse. And, right, you know, but there's also an element in which they're just normal, most of them moral, law-abiding people.
Yes.
But they just don't know Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that we would learn the same thing about them that they would learn about us. And it would help us maybe to bring down those defenses a little bit and not be so scared and not be so intimidated and realize, hey, these people are normal. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. All right, so being on the pastoral side, kind of the administrative side,
mm-hmm,
what are things that you found ways to help in organizing soul winning, organizing visitation? I know we just talked about some that you need to be at all the time, but I know I've taught our church that the reason we have organized is because if you don't have a planned time, most people don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it gives them an opportunity. And yes, we've had to deal with the put on, put off the soul winning garb.
Sure.
But what are some things that maybe you found in your ministry that have helped in organizing soul winning and visitation?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to be organized.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to invite folks to the church, you have to know, okay, where are we sending them?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of this? Are we just canvassing? And that would just mean we're just putting literature in doors. Or are we actually going to be knocking on doors, talking to people? And then you need to communicate that to them.
Yep.
I think also giving folks options, because there are some people, and you would know this, there are some people, yep, in your church, maybe newer Christians, they would not feel comfortable knocking on a door and talking to someone, some random stranger. So maybe we start them out on the canvassing side of things. Or maybe we've got a couple different teams. We have a canvassing team, we have a door knocking team, and then we have a soul winning team. And there's three distinctions there. Most churches maybe wouldn't look at it this way, but this canvassing team is, we're going to a neighborhood and we're just going to put literature in doors.
Yeah.
Almost like a guy that works for a company is just, yes, dropping off, you know, right, phone books or whatever. The door knocking team, we're actually going to knock on the door and we're going to talk to them,
yeah,
but just for the purpose of giving them a track so that we can invite them to church. Maybe tell them, hey, inside that track is information about how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You know, if you have any questions, give us a call. But those people aren't quite ready to walk someone down the Romans road, to ask them about their soul. So they're just door knocking. They're just telling people about the church and inviting them. And then we have the soul winning team. And those people are the ones that, I mean, are there aggressively looking for opportunities. You know how this is as an experienced soul winner. You've been doing it your whole life. You're looking for little windows of opportunity that somebody gives you in a conversation. If they show even the slightest bit of interest in you and what you're doing or in the church, you know, you're going to probably take a step further. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that we've done. We try to do as much of our ministry on one particular night. We try to involve the whole family so that folks know, okay, that's the night that we're going to be there and that's what we're going to be doing. We know the church is going to be prepared. They're going to be ready. They're going to have the literature ready for us. They're going to have a vehicle ready to send us to the location. They're also going to have childcare for the children so that the children, the little ones, are taken care of. And because sometimes those children do become a distraction, you know, if you're at somebody's house and you're trying to, you know, I've got to use the bathroom or you know, they, you know, there's a dog, I'm scared of the dog. And so we try to provide as much, we try to eliminate, I should say, maybe as much of the distractions as we possibly can. So I think that, again, on our end, you know, you find a time, you promote it heavily, but then when they get there, you're ready to go and you're organized. And then I think also on the follow-up end of that, how do you continue to get folks coming? Well, you keep doing those things, but you show them, hey, we're making progress here.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to invite Brother So-and-so up. He led somebody to Christ on Thursday night, and I want you to tell him about it. And that gets people excited. Hey, if he could do it, maybe I could do it too.
Yeah. All right, so keeping along that idea of follow-up, I know on our side, over the last year, I've worked really hard at updating even our follow-up. Because you're in an established church, I'm in an established church, and there comes a point, you have visitors, but we're pretty comfortable.
Right.
There's a mentality that almost comes in that, hey, it's us four, no more. Mm-hmm. And I wanted our church to understand every visitor is a gold mine. Every visitor. I want them knowing that the pastor himself is so interested in them. And we have to convey that. I mean, here they took time to come to us. I didn't even go to them.
Right.
So it's kind of it's not soul winning necessarily, but it is a follow-up. Maybe it's a visitation and somebody comes and then you're like, hey, you know what? We barely recognize them. So I know for us, we've worked a lot on the internal side, on the organized side of making sure that person knows that I'm so glad they came. And I think sometimes we miss out on an opportunity in a recontact. And just maybe a thought or two as we wrap up here.
It's interesting that you bring this up because we're right now in the process of kind of looking at what we're doing.
Yeah.
And in some respects we're kind of asking ourselves, why is it not all that effective? Going back to what we talked about in the very beginning of this conversation, people are much more, they have their guard up in some respects today.
Yes.
So for instance, you know, we get visitors weekly. Every single week we have adult visitors in our church. They fill out a card. That's just those that fill out the card, you know.
Right.
Cuz not every visitor does that.
Right.
You know that as well as I do. And I'll make a phone call or I'll send an email, you know, I'll send a text.
Yes.
And nothing. I get nothing in return.
Exactly.
And so And I think the devil uses that because the devil tells you, well, you know, there was something they didn't like about the service, so they're not coming back. You know, don't bother going to their house because they're going to be weirded out by the fact that the pastor showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we just have to overcome those obstacles because the devil does. He works overtime on all of us, not just the people in the pew, but also the people that are behind the pulpit.
Yep.
And so I think we still have to be aggressive. I saw a pastor recently of a Baptist church and. A soul-winning church, and he had put something out. They were having a bigger promotion. He had put something out. You know, come to this church. We're not the type of church where we won't send somebody to your house after you've come.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of like, you know, we don't want to be caught up in that type of stigma. You know, we're not like that. We're not that aggressive. And so we do have to be careful, but we still have to follow up. There's got to be a way. So one of the things that we've just recently started in the last year or so, we began at our church just on Sunday night and Wednesday night, a place where folks can come and they can get a nice cup of coffee. And we got a little bookstore set up with it, and even a few like on Sunday night, you can get some pizza. You can get some snacks, that sort of thing. We call it the Rooted and Grounded Coffee Shop. And it's just Sunday night and Wednesday night after church. And so what we've begun to do for all of our guests is we write them a handwritten note, And then we put a couple of free drink cards in that note.
Right.
And then we personally take them to their house, and we knock on the door unannounced.
Yep.
As guests, by the end of that next week, so by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're going to have received one of these cards. And if they're home, then that gives an opportunity, hey, we just want to say thank you. We have a gift that want to give you. And that just seems to open doors better when you have some type of a gift as opposed to, hey, what did you think about our church, you know, and that sort of thing. And then from there, we're praying and hoping that opens up and leads, you know, to further conversation. And then for them to come back.
Yeah.
And to, you know, to experience the church again, you know, in that type of setting. Say, I've got this card, I want to use it. Appreciate that. That's very kind of you. So, you know, again, just trying to think outside the box a little bit, hoping that will open some doors to get folks back, but also to get us to be able to engage in conversation to thank them, you know, for coming and giving of their time. So that's kind of one of the things that we've recently started. So,
well, good. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Pastor Folger. And again, this moment of ministry. And glad that you could be with us. Hope that some of these ideas either help somebody or at least spur their mind on in thinking about their ministry.